her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man looked like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
Big guy, I think you're gonna have to treat our guy Joshy with a little more respect going forward.
What's the problem?
He's
just because
be-
he's our pseudo boss.
That? I mean, he's basically in charge here for a couple weeks now.
Oh, I read emails sometimes.
So he's basically in charge here, but I'm talking more like we want to keep him around here.
What's the problem? What did I do?
I mean, I'm just saying we got to be nice to him. Like if
I am nice.
If you keep poking him the way you do sometimes, keep going after him the way you do sometimes.
He said, "Can you refresh your screen?" No, please. So I said, "Can you get off my back?" Which is a fair response.
I'm just saying, like, Josh is big time now.
Oh, he's always been big time. You know where he's big? In Japan.
Yeah, that's
huge.
What I'm saying.
He's huge.
Josh is an international superstar now.
Yeah.
So Josh had spearheaded this watch-along that we did, and we're going to continue to do, by the way, during the Brewers postseason run, where Josh was on all but one because he went to game two. Shout out to Marty Ronsky, Brewers COO, for getting Joshy some tickets. But he was a part of every other watch-along that we did during the Brewers postseason. You know, you pull it up on YouTube, watch along while you're watching the game, get the reaction to Joshy and the crew. So I joined on Friday. So it was myself, it was Joshy, Strof, and then full-time Will, young Will. And obviously things did not go the Brewers' way on Friday. Shohei Ohtani did some pretty outrageous things. But I don't know if I want to call it a phenomenon, but this is like an actual like trend right now in social media and videos like this too, like of people who will record themselves watching games and then post all the bad reaction videos after their team loses. And that's not what, I mean, we did it all, but obviously Shohei is huge in Japan. Like, and Josh had mentioned this, like the amount of Japanese people that showed up, even just at AmFam for the game, that aren't necessarily Dodger fans, but are clearly Shohei Ohtani fans. Like,
yeah.
the guy's Michael Jordan over there, right? Like, he's just huge.
He's
big. And somebody from Japan decided to go through our... How long was the video, Joshy? I mean,
3 hours worth of video. Somebody had put in the timestamps of all the Ohtani home runs and then, like, the end of the game. And it seems like somebody took the time then and cut out, you know, a minute on each side, put it all together, and put it in their own little video that they used.
So, yeah. So somebody from Japan did this. They put out a reaction of us reacting to the ridiculous things that Shohei Ohtani was doing. And that video now, currently, has 1.3 million views.
Can I have a sidebar?
Please.
Your flippin' generation is weird, man. You guys are just weird. You're just weird. You're not... It's not that you're not cool. It's just some of the stuff you guys do is so stupid.
Yeah, I can't
it's stupid.
Disagree
it's
there.
Dumb. You watch stupid stuff. How many times? What is this? Can look at the screen, Gabe. What's
okay.
this?
What's what? What, you taking a selfie?
Yeah, you take pictures of yourself. What do you do with it? What do you do? Your generation, maybe a little younger, does that. What are you doing with it?
I would say most people post it to their social media accounts.
Why?
Whether that's TikTok, whether that is Instagram.
For
yeah.
what purpose? You guys waste a lot of time. You're not efficient like my generation was. My generation, very efficient.
All right. I
very multitaskable, very efficient.
I don't want to hear from you about efficiency and how you're saving time down there. All right, like I don't want to hear that from you.
You
right?
want to hear what I did yesterday?
I will take a lot of criticism for you. I have agreed with a lot of things you have just said. I'm
going to
stop it at like you guys
I
are
get,
inefficient.
You know how you get the weekly how much you're on your phone?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your average screen time.
Like, what are you guys? Do you know, Josh? What are you guys at?
It's probably a lot.
Yeah. Because, I mean, again, like a lot of things.
I also don't have $1 million, nor am I retired.
I'm not retired, and I take a lot of offense to that. Just because I work from 7:01 to 8:56 does not mean I'm retired. Now, if you want to use another word, yes.
Semi-retired?
That's fair. But I grind. I'm a grinder.
Some people greet at Walmart. This is what Chewy does, right?
Like, I was watering grass this morning, your time.
I thought you didn't have grass down there.
No, we didn't do that.
Wait, but no, whoa. What do you mean you didn't do that? You had a barrel of rocks that you were shoveling that you hurt your back.
That's for the beds. So being away, I had some grass that died because someone didn't take care of the grass down here and the cinch bugs got in and killed it. So I had to spend X amount of dollars on sod that has to be watered twice a day. So at 5:20 this morning, who's up watering the sod? Me. Yep. I've done more today to the startup of this show probably than... I wouldn't say you would do all day, but you would do by 1 o'clock.
So basically what you're telling me is you got up, you watered some grass. So I am not going to do... I mean, how long did that take you?
It took 45 minutes.
All right, so you just stood there with the hose, just kind of moving it around, making sure everything...
Stood there seems a little condescending there, okay?
Wait, were you doing high knees while you were doing this?
Took the trash out.
Whoa, you're not even standing there with the hose. You just turned it on? And it's got the little sprinkler that's going by itself?
No, but you got to hit spots that it doesn't get real well. So.
So you didn't necessarily.
I'm just saying, my generation, you, much more efficient.
You're saying is your generation is saying you're doing things when actually the system that you purchased doing it.
You're like the people we see when we drive past construction sites. 8 people working, 1 doing something else, but everyone else says they're busy doing something. That's what it seems like.
The world needs supervisors, right? All right, back to Joshy's story. That was my sidebar.
That backfired on
us. So Joshy is huge in Japan.
Yeah, like these people, so they posted their own video, and they spliced in some like post-game comments from mm-hmm. the Dodgers in there as well. But it's mostly just our reaction to Shohei doing the ridiculous things he did in the game Friday night. And look, the people love Joshy. I mean, so the comments. Now, I don't know how much you know about our YouTube comments, but typically that's where a lot of the negativity lives.
Just go there now. You'll see it.
No, my son loves him. He is so entertained by him because he watches the show on YouTube. He's like, God, the way they fight on your show. It's kind of funny.
They're doing their own little show in the comments
There's rivalries amongst people inside the chat. We love them over there. They aren't always the biggest fan of us, and it seems the more we ignore them, the angrier they get, which is like a self-fulfilling
prophecy.
Why don't they read our comments? It's all rude.
I got mistaken for being Japanese one time. It's kind of weird. No, I'm serious. I'm dead serious. So this is right after the Super Bowl, I want to say February, and my agent calls because Brett was supposed to do the Nickelodeon Awards and blew him off. Flat just blew him off like 8 hours before the show. So they're in a panic because we were getting Team of the Year because we had just won the Super Bowl. So I lived in Scottsdale, and I could get there and make the show. So I said, all right, here's the deal. My buddy's got to go with me. My buddy goes with me. And we landed LAX, and we're up against it. We got like an hour to the start of the show. And the car service is picking me up. He said, I'll be right outside, blah, blah, blah. I didn't know what kind of car. So he's calling me. He's like, where are you? And I'm like, I'm right out front. You know, and it took like a half hour. I'm like, I'm 6'6". It's hard to miss me. I'm right here. Another 15 minutes. So finally, he's walking around, and I'm like, are you picking up Chimura? He's like, yeah, but I thought you'd be Asian.
Based on what?
My last name. I guess it has Asian, I don't know.
I don't.
No? Way off?
I mean, I think your last name gives the strong Polish vibes it's supposed to give.
Yeah.
You think so?
I've never been misled.
I've seen Asian names that are kind of like mine. Not, they don't have enough vowels. That's the problem. So, I don't know. They don't. Gabe, you're looking at me funny.
I also think we're categorizing a whole side of the earth as all having the same like conventions of their name, which is not true also.
And maybe I'm just leaning into, you know, my sports knowledge of a lot of those Asian last names, but Yamamoto seems to have quite a few vowels.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but it ends in a vowel. And my name does too, right? Yeah. Hey. Yeah.
I like that you
just
needed confirmation.
I've seen Asian last names that kind of look like Chimura.
Okay. I guess I've never made that mistake when looking at your last name.
When I'm thinking of, let's say, Japan, since we're mentioning them.
Yep.
Otani.
Yep.
Suzuki.
Yep.
Never once would I think Chimura seems to fit right in there because there's an A at the end of his name.
Asian names that spell like, am I going to get in trouble here? I'm not at the station.
Yeah, I wouldn't say. Whatever you're going to say, tread carefully.
Yeah, I'm already uncomfortable with where we're at here. Somehow this is
where
we
ended up. Thanks for
leading
us down to Dead End Road. This is a good job.
I was just trying to give Joshy his praise.
Chura, hold on. C-H-U-R-A. Fair? Fair. Fair?
Sure. But okay, what point are you trying to make?
He doesn't know.
Because
I'm trying to see the guy's point that was picking me up in the car.
Yeah,
because I thought he was nuts at first, and now I really don't think he is.
That was what, 25 years ago?
96.
So almost 30 years ago.
He thought it was shorter, to be honest.
70 beautiful Japanese baby names.
Okay. All right. We've lost the plot here.
Yeah.
Chio, C H Y.
No. Okay. Just cut him off. All right. We just need before Chewy gets fired. We need to cut him off.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we need to do.
We're looking out for him.
Yep. Just looking out for you, big guy. That's all we're trying to do here. We'll get to Jason Wilde. How about that? I just literally just wanted to give Joshy a shout out for doing some good work and having it picked up and get aggregated internationally to $1.3 million views, and then this is where we end up. By the way, not that this one's going to be aggregated internationally, but, you know, Josh is going to have another one of those. Another little watch-along happening this Sunday with the Packers playing the Steelers, who happen to have Aaron Rodgers.
Can I go on?
It's an in-person only. And you've been put on a hyper-suspension.
Because of today?
Yeah.
That's bull.
Is your business?
I've got the Halloween costume.
I turned them off. Let's do your live. Let's go to break. Hand up. That's on us. We got to take the L there. We'll move on.
Yeah. No.
Be better with Jason.
I thought we could have the conversation, but we couldn't. We couldn't. And that is on me. I should have known better. Is your business ready to take the next step at Fifth Third Commercial Bank Wisconsin? Our team of local experienced advisors is here to propel you forward. We understand your needs and offer in-depth expertise, cutting-edge technology, and tailored solutions to streamline your cash collections, automate payments, and safeguard your assets with top-notch fraud mitigation tools. Contact Fifth Third in downtown Milwaukee today. Let's eliminate the non-value add work so you can focus on what truly matters most. Growing your business. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, Custom Solutions, built around your goals. Member FDIC.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project this year? Exterior Pros and Baths is here to help you score big with quality home exterior and shower upgrades. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com.
He is our friend, he is our teammate, he is Jason Wilde. He joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, dude.
What's happening?
You tell me.
Oh, I mean, after the first segment we had, you're a very welcome reprieve.
It could have been that bad, could it have been? Oh, yeah, probably.
I thought it was great.
Jason, I guess, how serious is the calf injury for Josh Jacobs that he needed to really campaign for himself to play in the game? And do we need to be worried about this kind of slowing him down going forward?
Yeah, so I do think it's a concern. Now, he did get medical clearance to play. Like, he didn't go rogue like that time Brett Favre ran back onto the field with a concussion and threw a touchdown pass, and Mike Sherman didn't even know what was happening. But, is it something that was potentially an issue and could have been made worse? Yes, I think that's fair to say. But, like, I don't know. I know Rob Domofsky took video of his workout. Like, it looked like they put him through a pretty rigorous workout before the game to make sure that it could stand up. Calf muscle strains make me nervous. As I've said, I just always think of Kevin Durant, and it always feels to me like there's a danger that it's simply a precursor to blowing out your Achilles, which is then a season-ending injury. And as we saw with this quarterback that the Packers are going to play this week, I don't know if anybody's heard of him. I'm being told that this is not a story. It's just a story for us. But it takes a while to get your game back when you suffer that injury. So my only apprehension was, if when you have a calf issue, it is the calf bone's connected to the Achilles bone, and that makes me nervous.
Jason, I read Pete Doherty's article in the Press Gazette, and he addressed the running game, and he said the reason the running game is not been great is because the run blocking of the offensive line has been caca. What do you think?
Well, I didn't know that Pete used the word caca.
I'm in a mood today, Jason.
That's the word on the street, buddy.
Yeah.
which is great. I think we need things to be spiced up once in a while.
This is what makes Chewy Chewy.
Got to do it. Well, and let's be honest, it's easy for me to say that. I got about 15 minutes of it, and then I'm done.
That's enough. On the other hand.
But hey, I have my own times with our other favorite former NFL player. So let's be honest. Look, I think it's been better, right? I mean, the idea that you can shuffle guys in or have guys play one play and then have his replacement play in two different spots of the same game like Jordan Morgan had to do, I think that I'm sure that is a problem, and I'm sure that has factored in to their running game production. But I think it's looked a lot better. Like the touchdown that Jacobs had in the Bengals game. Now, I don't like it when normal, everyday, common people like myself say things like, oh, I could have run that one, or I could have thrown that pass. I always think that is ridiculous. Or Jesse saying he could play an entire inning at second base for a minor league baseball team. Like, I don't really like to say that, but if you look at the touchdown run that Jacobs had, they were joking about it afterward, that it was like the Red Sea parting in the Bible. That's pretty good blocking when you're able to do that. So I think it's getting better. I think Aaron Banks is a really key piece of that. And I'm not an offensive line aficionado to the degree that I can say, he's played this poorly in these games and now he's played better in these games. I think the Pro Football Focus grades indicate, though, that, you know, he's playing better. But look, you're no matter how good of a running back you are, and I think Josh Jacobs is a phenomenal running back, you're not going to be nearly as productive if you're getting most of your yardage after contact. And that's what he dealt with last year with, I thought, an offensive line that had even more cohesiveness. And that's what he's dealt with for a good chunk of this year. So if those guys can get out there for extended periods together finally, then I think you'll see that get better.
Well, I'm just going off of what LaFleur said, because he said they played a lot of four shell. The quickest way to get someone out of four shell is to run the ball. You run the ball real well because the safeties right. are back. It's essentially man on man. And I'm just saying, from the, you should be gashing them. You gash them, they got to get out of four shell. They got to bring someone up in the box, which only helps the passing game, if that's what teams are going to do from here on out.
To that point, Jason, is because it feels like, and again, they're 4-1-1. They've scored 27 points in all of their wins. They scored 40 points in one in the tie. So the offense certainly has looked good at moments, but to me it feels like there's something missing. Is that something missing just running the ball a little bit more efficiently, and that can unlock everything else?
Yeah, and look, they also, for the first chunk of the season, were seeing a lot of, you know, 7-8-man boxes, and they were pretty hell-bent on stopping Josh Jacobs.
And then you saw some pretty good first halves from Jordan Love. Like, I think of the first half that he had against Detroit, the first half that he had against Washington. He put up some pretty good numbers, but now it seems like teams realize, oh, we don't need that extra man in the box to really slow down this running game.
Yeah, I mean, look, I thought Jacobs ran the ball really well against against Cincinnati. And,
yes.
But to your point, you know, LaFleur even told us, like, he went over to the offensive line early in that game and said, and I'm sure this was the sanitized version of his phrasing, but he said, look, if we're not going to be able to run the ball against a two-shell defense, it's going to be a long day. Mm-hmm. And he basically challenged the offensive line to take control of the game. And they did. I mean, look, Jacobs finished that game with 150 total yards from scrimmage. And he's had three straight two-touchdown games now again. Like, I look, it's my job to be critical too. But I am, to some degree, Team LaFleur on the idea of it's six games into the season. They're trying to figure it out. They've won in spite of their flaws. And if they can get through this and then get things figured out where they're playing at a high level in late November, December, and January, then it's all worth it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I still think, and you know, keeping in mind that I'm old, like Chewy,
mm-hmm.
like, I still think that they're using, and this isn't the Packers, this is everybody, the first month plus of the season to figure out what they are, because they don't play, like...
Oh, that's I think that's evident across the league, Jason, with what we've seen through these first 6 weeks.
Like, I used to love the third preseason. Like, you know, you guys know, I love the preseason because of all the guys that are the Kevin Case Vaharns and the, you know, all these guys trying to make a name for themselves and make a team. I love it. But I also used to love the third preseason game when Holmgren made you guys play into the third quarter because I actually got an idea of what you were. And we just don't have that anymore, and that's why we spend as much time as we do during games that actually count trying to figure out what a team is.
Jason, is Luke Musgrave just a guy? Seems like Fitzpatrick's starting to get more involved than he is.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to be the number three soon?
Yeah, I mean, I got a text from our buddy Tom Oates, the columnist emeritus from the State Journal, asking essentially the same question. And again, you know, we make jokes about, because look, Goody has been a very good GM. He's made some really, really good draft picks and signed
really good free agents, but he's not infallible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, this is unfair to say about Josh Myers, but when you draft a guy in the second round, especially one pick before another center who ends up being one of the best in the league in Creed Humphrey, like, he started 50 games, but it felt like they were never happy with him, right? That's a second-round pick. We all know the track record on third-round picks that basically Tucker Kraft broke a streak of really disappointing third-round picks. But now Luke Musgrave is a second-round pick. You can't have John Fitzpatrick playing ahead of you. Like, you can't do that. Like, you're supposed to be better than him. And, you know, there's been a couple times when I've watched back on games where I'm like, oh, my God, why did they ask Luke Musgrave to block this guy? Do they not know who he is? And so, look, I prefer my guys at that position to be more like you, who could do everything. Like, and if you're not going to be able to be a well-rounded tight end, you better be God's gift to catching passes, right? I mean, yeah. J. Mike, not the most engaged blocker either. Some called him names and ended up on Pro Football Talk. But
he's like, talking about you. Time,
like, yeah, I know more.
Yeah. Well, he knows.
I think, Jason, I think when it comes to Musgrave, he's the perfect example of he's just someone that can't process fast enough. If he's blocking a guy and that guy pre-snap moves, he just can't. He can't process. And if you can't process, I don't care if you run a 4.2 and you can lift the world, you can't play. You can't play. And I just think that's what it is with him.
Right. And if his strength is as a pass catcher, which is how he was billed to us, you know, that has been inconsistent as well. I would also add that the Packers, people forget this, but the Packers took a chance on him. Like, his last year, this was like an NBA draft a guy based on potential, and sometimes you get it right and the guy's Dirk Nowitzki, and then sometimes you do it and you're like, well, that was a bad pick. Mm-hmm. I mean, he played two games his last year at Oregon State. And so they were betting on him and his potential. And they, you know, they followed that up with a third round pick on a guy that had played at South Dakota State and who grew up playing like 8-man football. And one has turned out to be a stud, and one, you know, let's be honest, has been kind of a dud. So it's a crapshoot. I get it, but I just remember training camp his rookie year.
Yeah.
He was as buzzworthy as a player in the summer that we've had in years.
Oh, I mean, but even those first 8 games, Jason, it was, man, once this guy catches the ball, if he figures out how to stay on his own 2 feet, he is going to be because he would be getting open. And he would catch it and then, for whatever reason, just fall. He'd be like a deer on ice suddenly after the ball. He'd be so athletic to get open. Ball would touch his hands, and suddenly the athleticism would leave his body. But you saw the potential in those first 8 games until he got hurt.
Yeah, I love a good Bambi reference. So, perfect. Well executed.
Just finally, before we let you go, Jason, did the Packers see the transformation that Keyshawn Nixon did from slot to outside and go, oh, yeah, we can do that with anybody. And now they're just missed casting Nate Hobbs on the outside.
Yeah, well, I think Matt LaFleur is going to be offended by that because he gave a Chris McIntosh level vote of confidence to Nate Hobbs yesterday. I'm a little more
skeptical. I would tell him the same thing that I would tell Chris McIntosh. We all have eyes.
Yeah, exactly. He also tried to tell us that the Rodgers thing is a story just for us, which, you know, I don't think that's true. Like,
But this is, I mean, this is just the way that has to go, though, Jason. Like, they say that during the week, and then one of the first things he's going to say post game at the podium is how, you know, this was actually important. They downplayed it, yada, yada, yada.
Well, I mean, and I will say this. I mean, Jordan Love and Rodgers have an authentically good relationship. Rodgers really did take what he experienced with Chewy's guy and vowed not to be a hypocrite and was great to Jordan. But, you know, Jordan wants to play well against his guy. I mean, there's no two ways about it. To your point about Nate Hobbs, like, yeah, my question is, you know, do you like him better than you like Javon Bullard in the slot even at this point?
I can't imagine because Bullard's been so good. So I don't know what you do with Hobbs. Like they just decided because it was very obvious the way they approached this offseason, Jason, that they wanted Bullard to be the slot guy. And Bullard has stepped up and answered the call, certainly. And they just thought that they could do the same thing to me that we did this once with a cornerback who looked like he was a really good slot guy, moved into the outside, and Keyshawn Nixon has had success. And they thought they could do the same thing with Hobbs, and it just hasn't gone as smoothly as the transition did for Keyshawn.
Yeah, I didn't love the signing of him right away, but it was more because, like, he's never played a full season.
Yeah.
He does hit. Like, he is, you know, Tausch teases me all the time for watching a few of his games on NFL Plus and say, God, this guy is physical. But you never heard me say after they signed him, God, this guy can really cover. But I do think that, you know, his physicality, and I even had a conversation with him about this during training camp, is it both a blessing and a curse? Is it a detriment? I mean, the guy got hurt on like July 31st, hitting a guy he wasn't supposed to be hitting the way he hit him in a practice. And maybe his knee has been an issue the whole time, and that's a factor in him getting cooked, right?
Yeah,
but again, that's self-inflicted. You did something in practice that you're not supposed to do. So I'm gonna give Matt LaFleur a little bit of grace and say, okay, you put it out there. You believe in this guy. He's gonna bounce back. We're gonna be watching to see if he does. And I am skeptical that he will, but I'm open to being proven wrong.
Appreciate it, Jason. We'll talk to you again on Thursday.
I can't wait to go back on the ESPN Wisconsin app and hear this world-famous first segment.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that before I start my show.
I guess it'll be a good example of what not to do for your show.
I believe we have a few examples of those over the years. All right, boys, take care. Be good.
See ya.
Jason Wildy joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Totally rad, bro. October is National Pizza Month, and I challenge you turn your taste buds upside down with Stranger Things Surfer Boy Frozen Pizza as you fuel up for one last adventure.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You want more physical harm beset upon people who are trying to earn a living.
I want winners. If someone has to die in order for us to win, then that's the price you pay.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Conversations three times a week with Jason Wildy, brought to you by Lakeland Supply. They're in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. Sure, I'm just a little confused. What do you got going on down there? You're eating at, I mean, you're an hour ahead because you're in Florida, so it's 8:44. You're eating this early in the day?
I got my protein.
You got a little Oikos?
Wait, when did this underrated? Huh?
When did this start?
I was doing it this summer, but you know what I got in there? The most underrated fruit known to man, and they're so good. Underrated.
Okay.
Blackberries.
Ooh, okay.
Am I right or wrong?
I think we put it on the poll. Are blackberries underrated? I agree with you, because most people are going to, if they go to the store, Chew, they're going to get the blueberries, they're going to get the raspberries if they're going to be mixing with yogurt. Yeah. Like, when I go to the store and I ask my wife, hey, what do you need? Because she does Greek yogurt and a bunch of raspberries. I think she's got a whole concoction that she puts together mm-hmm. that she eats. But it's always raspberries. It's never. It's not even blueberry. Like, she's very specific about the raspberries. So I'm with you. And then if you see like a fruit bowl, if you're out at a party, the blackberries, yeah those are underrated. I agree with you.
I used to pull over on the side of the road because they'll grow wild and just sit there and eat them. They're so good.
You stole from a farmer?
No, they grow wild, Gabe.
Oh, okay.
Wild, just, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I thought he was, I was about to say, you're a farmer. You should know better than that.
I'm a grinder.
I'm stealing from another farmer. I want to read you this quote because this is something that we did not get to yesterday. And I just feel that this is how a lot of fans feel about the Green Bay Packers currently. Because at 4-1-1, technically, they would be the number one seed in the NFC right now. They have the best record in the NFC as we sit here. But it seems like a lot of fans are unsatisfied. Some of the players feel the same way, Chew. Shout out to Ryan Wood from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel for this quote that he posted on Sunday after the game talking to Xavier McKinney. It shouldn't even come down to the fourth quarter. I think we have a better team, and I don't think we really played to our standard as much. We'll get back to the film room and find ways to be better, but we for damn sure can't do this against good teams because it's not going to work. I think the guys know that. Yeah, we're happy with the win, but we've got to be a lot better.
Well, I can tell you this. I picked them to win every game so far this year, every game, and I'm picking them to lose on Sunday.
I don't know if the Steelers, but I don't know if the Steelers are a good team or not.
But Steelers are smart. I'll tell you this.
Are the Steelers
smart? If the Steelers coaching staff was coaching on Sunday for Arizona, they lose that game. They lose that game. They lose. And it's not going to – Micah Parsons will be addressed. He's not having three sacks. He will be addressed.
I think – because the funny part is, and we heard, I think Rob told us this yesterday, I heard Jason talking about it on Wildy and Tausch as well, Micah, despite having a career-high 3 sacks, didn't think he played particularly well.
Which is insane.
Because he was left one-on-one so much, Chew, he thought he should have won those one-on-ones more than he did.
Yeah.
Because he was left one-on-one so much.
How many pressures did he have?
10.
I mean, he you might want to address that, you know? Sometimes you just got to say, hey, whatever.
But that
Send
means
three guys out, but this is going to be secure.
That means Rashawn's got to step up. And he had the strip sack on Sunday, so he made a play. Yeah. That means Kingsley Anabare has to step up. They don't seem to think that Lucas Van Ness is going to be ready to go for this game, but other guys have to step up because you're right. That coaching staff is going to have a better, again, solution seems wrong because I think Micah Parsons can still make a play or two throughout the course of the game beating those double teams, but they are going to have a better approach at trying to slow down Micah Parsons.
And I wanted to ask Jason this, whether he – I mean, do you guys listen to Pro Football Focus when they grade?
So some of the grades, I mean, you have to take with a grain of salt.
It's
a
piece of information into the larger picture. Yeah.
I think PFF does get a bad rap because there was one stat that I saw that was circulating yesterday when people were talking online about Nate Hobbs and how Eric Stokes right now over at PFF, they have a stat of like receptions allowed per snaps played. And he's pretty far down there. Like, it seems like he's playing pretty well. Like, oh, that's why PFF stinks. Like, this isn't a grade. This is just more of how many receptions has he allowed and how often is he out there? And that's all that's basically telling you. Again, a piece of information.
But you know who got the lowest grade offensively in PFF?
I will say offensively, Tucker Kraft.
Jordan Love.
Hmm.
Did you think he played that bad? I mean, his ratings high 90s or low 100s? I mean, it wasn't that bad. Obviously... 236 yards total offense isn't that's very bad.
Yeah.
That's
wonky things always happen with the especially when it comes to the quarterback position. Famously, was it the 4-5
Aaron Rodgers had a 5 touchdown game against the Chiefs and had a terrible PFF grade.
Yeah. I don't know why they make it so cuz our grading system was easy when I played, right? So it was either a plus, a 0 or a minus. Plus is proper technique, you did your job. A minus is off, obviously, improper technique, and you didn't do your job. And a zero is improper technique, but you got the job done.
Yeah.
And then you throw it into Andy Reid's little computer, and then outspits your grade.
And, again, I think the problem that most people have with PFF is they don't know how it's calculated.
Yeah.
Right? You just explained the grading system that you did. PFF yes. has never explained what their grading system is. Much like, and I'll use this one as an example as well, ESPN has their QBR. So yes. Jordan Love's quarterback rating, which is the one we've known forever, you know, and so it was 93.9. Jacoby Brissett's quarterback rating was 110.8. Again, 158.3, for whatever reason, is the highest grade you can get in the NFL. But their QBR, based on the ESPN, where 50 is average, that's the only like thing that they'll tell you. You know, they throw in a bunch of things into their formula. Mm-hmm. Jordan Love's QBR was 71.3, which is a really good grade, and Jacoby Brissett's was 29.4.
Yeah, I don't know why they just don't use one grading system for all these things.
And the problem is, I don't know how any of them are calculated. So I take it as a bit of information. And again, if you are a big Jordan Love supporter, I know Craig brought it up a lot on Sunday Karma, brought it up a couple of times on Fridays when he joins our show. Oh, Jordan Love, QBR, top five last year. Yeah, that's nice. I just don't know how it's calculated.
Yeah. And obviously you have to do it on the scale because obviously playing quarterback is a lot more difficult, I believe, than playing left guard.
Yeah.
You know, left guard, it's pretty easy to grade. And that's why it's so tough on quarterbacks because, you know, a lot of times they, like, I love how people comment and see, like, well, this guy was running wide open, you know, there was no one around him. Yeah, but he's the fifth read. You'd never get to the fifth read. I mean, Deion Sanders was covering me one time. I was split out wide to the left. Everyone else was on the right. He fell down, and I'm running past him.
Mm-hmm.
Would have been the highlight of my career. And Brett said, you know what, Chu, I love you, but when I saw Deion on you.
Didn't even look.
You could have been in the locker room. I really don't care. I ain't going there. So it's just like, yeah, a guy's wide open, but, I mean, if he's the fourth, fifth read, then he's never going to see the ball unless there's a scramble or whatever.
I choose to believe that you had a route that was just so disgusting that you made him fall down and that he didn't trip over his own 2 feet.
I think he was a little blinded by my speed off the ball.
Just didn't see that quickness coming. He's kind of like, caught him by surprise.
Deceptively
fast. Where
did
that come from? Yeah.
Alan texts in on the Cardinals Talking Text Line, 800-990-3776. Blackberries, very underrated. I use them in pancakes, waffles, mm-hmm. margaritas, and martinis.
Ooh, that sounds tasty. I mean, is a blackberry better than an olive? I would say yes.
I guess it depends upon the context. Overall, yes. Like, I'm not going to, if I see a bowl of olives sitting there, I'm not going to pop them. Obviously, some people do. I'm not just going to like start popping them in my mouth the way I would a blackberry. Yeah. But also, like, I don't want a blackberry on my pizza, but if there's an olive on my pizza, I'm okay. And so it kind of depends upon what you're using it for.
I think the flip side to the blackberry, what is it, a vegetable? Or I think the jalapeno is grossly underrated. I love jalapenos on everything.
I feel
you
like
put them in a margarita. You put them in a margarita, gives it a little bite. What did I have for pizza? I'm going to say I had pineapple and jalapeno on a pizza.
Pretty common.
Mm-hmm.
And
I feel like the jalapeno is probably properly rated.
Yeah, why? The jalapeno, you either like it or you don't.
The jalapeno has like reached career high usage rates.
Yeah, I feel like jalapenos are everywhere.
Yeah, but there's no articles about it. I mean, no one's writing about it. There's nothing. You can't find anything.
Wait. Who do you want writing about jalapenos? Who do you think is taking their time out? Pete Doherty. You want Doherty to write about jalapenos?
Who's the jalapeno of the team? Javon Bullard. No one knows who Javon Bullard is in Chicago, but he's our jalapeno.
The point is that I think people know about jalapenos.
Yeah, do they?
They're kind of
everywhere.
I don't
think they do.
I just want to issue a sincere apology from the depths of my heart to everyone for every segment except for the second one.
See, this is why I go at him.
Wait, we were going
hey,
so well.
Hey. No, but this is why
ruined
I
it.
Go at him. for stuff like this. You know?
I'm not.
People want to know what I'm wearing for Halloween. Joshy doesn't care because he's anti-costume.
All right.
He had to
There's
wear
nobody
denim.
Clamoring for your costume.
We get to Chewie's Halloween costume next.
No.
You're going to have to do it. You just complained about it. If you're looking for a newer, nicer used vehicle, the Ewald Automotive Group can help increase your purchase power. During their used car rate reduction sales event, shop 600 quality pre-owned vehicles with no money down, no payments until 2026. Interest rates, they're coming down. So let them try to improve your situation today. It costs nothing other than a few minutes of your time to check them out. So go to ewaldauto.com for locations, inventory, and more. You'll certainly be glad you did. I have trusted them for years because Ewald makes it easy. I would go nowhere else if I'm looking for a used car, a new car, service. I go to Ewald for everything. You should trust them as well. Go to ewaldauto.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I thought Salvation every time Army. That they hear their name when it's non-scheduled, that's what they want to hear.
I could hear Ashley laughing in the background.
Am I right or wrong?
He's not wrong. Hey, he's not wrong. He's not wrong.
He is wrong.
On 94.5 ESPN.
All right, Chewy, you've brought it up twice now today. Your Halloween costume.
Yep.
You and your wife love doing the big Halloween parties, live going. Probably the most famous that you've done, the picture I still have in my phone, you as Elf, which was fantastic. So you said you've got your Halloween costumes for 2025. Yeah. What do you guys have for this year?
Here's what I'm going to do. For a segment tomorrow, I will wear it. Not going to tell you what segment.
Okay.
But for a segment, I'll put it on.
All right. So that means people got to make sure that they're watching on the YouTube stream all throughout the course of tomorrow.
Tell me what you think.
All right. Yep. So Chewy will have that. And one just final, this came across my desk here before we get to Jeff Levering here in 2 minutes. I want to add a name. We've had a list of funny names going here that, you know, you'll get the gist when I say this name. There is somebody who is trying to qualify into a PGA Tour tournament in Bermuda right now. He's two shots off the lead going into the final round. His name? Harry Dickens.
Track for the show.
Jeff Levering in 2 minutes.